B-Pod Studios.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
is Toucher and Rich.
How are you? All out and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It is Toucher and Rich. And real quick, let's go to, I was talking about just yesterday on the comm, and it was so windy that all the trash cans had tipped over, and there were all these multicolored bags that were of dog crap that were shooting like around like projectiles. And it was, I've never seen anything like it. So Brian, you're on Toucher and Rich. What's up, man?
Hey guys. Hey, good morning.
Hey.
So yeah, I used to work in Back Bay, and I've been through a couple of windstorms like that where your umbrellas are all breaking and flying around. You're walking at a 45-degree angle. And if you do the research, they call Chicago the Windy City, but Back Bay gets more wind at a steadier clip than Chicago does.
Okay, so
and
Brian.
So I totally agree with you.
Real quick, Brian. So you worked down in Back Bay, right?
Yes, I did.
Is that dude that has the skateboard and puts a wind sail on it still windsurfing around Copley Square?
It's been a while since I've been there, so I don't know, but maybe I'm hoping he is.
Okay, because there's some maniac. Thank you, Brian. There's this maniac that goes around. When I used to live down there, which was 5 years ago is when I moved, there was a guy that the weirdest people lived around Copley Square. Copley Square is just a portal to weirdness. You go there and just
right across the street
happen.
From the library, that common area there.
Right at Copley Square. Yeah. So near the John Hancock building, where it might actually get the windiest, there was a guy who used to have this like long skateboard that he attached a windsail to, and he would windsurf around Copley Square in the John Hancock building on it, just randomly, just getting right in the middle of traffic. And you're behind a dude who's basically windsurfing in the middle of the road. Hmm. Is that guy still around? Has anybody seen him?
Doesn't sound too smart.
How about Louis the Human Siren? Is he still there? Louis the Human Siren was the guy that every early evening, like around 6 o'clock, would go down Boylston Street and he would ride a tricycle.
Oh,
and he just
of course
would,
he would.
You could hear him coming from 6 blocks away. And he had all these flags on the back. It was like a Patriots flag, a Bruins flag.
On the back of the tricycle.
On the back of his, it was like an adult-sized tricycle.
Oh, okay.
It was like a big one.
All right.
And he would, you could hear him from 6 blocks away, and he would just yell, that meant get the F out of the way, because I'm Louis the Human Siren, and I am not slowing down.
Louis,
and
huh?
And he would barrel you over if you were in his way. That guy used to be around there. I'm telling you, that area right around Copley Square was just like there were characters.
Now you've moved to near Boston Common, where you have a whole new class of people to meet.
I mean, listen, you know Boston Common.
Somehow these people find you, Rich. It really is quite amazing. Those of us out in the suburbs don't get nearly as much fun.
There's one guy that always comes up to my kids and always goes, he goes, "Little children."
And then you run in the opposite direction.
My kids always laugh, and I'm always...
That's the last thing I would be doing as a parent, laughing.
The first time it happened to me, I kind of got... If anybody knows these people, and it knows what's going... 617-779-0995. Like, when the first time that happened, and he's usually right around where, the new Primark is. It's right where Filene's Joe DiMaggio, you know, that area. Like Winter Street and whatever that is right there.
Sure.
He just comes up to my kids when I'm walking and goes, "Little children!" And starts doing that thing with his mouth, like starts clicking at him and like with his hands out almost.
His hands are out. He's making noise at your children,
but
they're laughing
like
at him.
It's more like a, "Hey, I'm a jester." It's not like he's coming at you like he's trying to grab you or anything.
Okay.
He just puts his hands up like that.
The heck of a neighborhood you chose to live in, sir.
And then, of course, you know, I mean, there's the regulars, the people have been there for like 20 years.
Sure.
Like Spare Change. Everyone knows him.
Right.
You know, he's...
Even I know that guy.
Yeah. I mean, his voice is instantly recognizable.
Right.
He's been around there forever. Anybody got any change? And then there's like the nicest guy in the world. Right in the middle of Boston Common in the morning, there's a guy who just yells out the news.
Yes.
Like, he yells out the score of, like, they know, Red Sox win 3-1.
I used to pass that guy every day when I used to work in Government Center.
So we started calling him the town crier because that's what he does. Yep. Really nice guy. And, like, you know, he's one of those guys that when you see him, you know, you give him a dollar. You know, he's performing a service. He's a good guy, and he's always there. However, so my wife was saying hello to him. She was with my kids, and he handed my wife a business card. And it says the town crier on it and has an email address.
So
I don't know what you would hire him for.
I was just going to say.
Or why he has, but he gave my wife like a business card and it says the town crier on it and it's got a picture of him doing it. So I don't know what the side hustle
hire him
is
out
there.
For bar mitzvahs and birthday parties.
Listen, if you can get, what's his name?
If the power goes out, maybe you have him, you know, tell everyone the news.
Well, maybe he's like Rene Rancourt. You know, he shows up at your wedding.
It could be.
He yells
Introduce the wedding party.
That the news is that you are indeed now married.
Yeah.
And then he moves on from that.
Maybe I should have hired that guy instead of Carl Bean.
I don't know.
Great.
Maybe you could. Yeah. All right. There. By the way, somebody just sent me a video of Louie. Like, Louie apparently is still around.
Okay.
Oh, one-handed push-up man, somebody said. I haven't seen one-arm push-up man in 10 years. One-arm push-up man used to be a guy that hung out around Fenway Park and also would come over towards, like, Back Bay near Whiskey's. And when people would come out of the bars drunk, he would tell them, I can do 100 one-arm push-ups. No, it was like 50 one-arm push-ups in a minute. And people would say, there's no way you can do it. And sure enough, he would just crush it and do it. Like, his right arm was absolutely jacked.
Made of steel.
And these college kids would end up losing $20 because there's no way you can do 50 one-arm push-ups in a minute.
Right.
And sure enough, he would absolutely kick their ass. All right, John, on line one. What's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, man. Hey, guys. I live down there, too. Work down there, Copley, Back Bay area. The windsurfer dude's still there. I saw him about 8-10 months ago. It is really, really windy down there, too. Like the guy's talking about from Chicago, it's terrible. And the guy on the tricycle is still around as well. I saw him last spring is the last time I remember seeing him, and it was when they closed Newberry Street for all the walk-through restaurant stuff. That dude was going by blasting that horn stuff.
blasting that horn is his mouth.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he just yells it. He goes, and, like, you better get out of his way. I've never seen him slow
down. He's not going very fast,
no,
is
no,
he?
No, no, no. Faster than you'd think, man.
On a tricycle?
But it's like a large adult-sized tricycle, so the wheel's kind of big.
Okay.
I mean, if you don't get out of his way, like, he'll roll you over. I've never seen him slow down. I've seen people jump out of the way of Louie before.
All right.
By the way, and Louie is just that, you know, that's just that somebody told me his name was Louie, so I'm going to roll with that. I don't really know what it is. Let's go. Yeah, I mean, but windsurfer dude. You'll be in the middle of traffic, like, trying to get on 90 right there, and, like, windsurfer dude's just, like, living it. He's got blinders on. He don't care about anything that's going on around him. He's windsurfing in the middle of the road. Let's go to Fred on line two. What's up, Fred? You're on Toucher and Rich.
What's going on, guys? First of all, one-arm push-up, man, that guy's incredible. I used to bartend in the alley, and I also used to run Joe Nemo's. We had a side on Filene's basement, the hot dog place.
Yeah.
So I've seen pretty much everybody you're talking about. But the hey guy, you got some spare change. That guy was walking around every day.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You said his voice is like, it's like nails on a chalkboard. It's awful.
I actually find his voice somewhat comforting. Like, he's just like,
you do?
Just because it reminds me of home. Because he's always kind of near where, like,
that guy scares the crap out of me. All right.
Oh, has anybody got any change?
Yeah. It's like the walk of the living dead. That is not comforting.
It's like the town crier. Like, you know, is like a nice guy. So now people are sending me pictures. They've seen of Louie, the guy in the tricycle. Louie the Siren.
Is that comforting to you, knowing that everyone is still there?
See, I miss Louie. Like, Louie doesn't make it. Louie does not make it downtown where I am.
Oh, he's got the turf.
I guess he's got a run.
He rolls between, like, Berkeley and Gloucester. Oh, that's where he is?
There's reports of him in, like, coming. I think he starts in, like, Alston.
Oh.
And his route starts there, and he comes back.
Oh, all right.
And I don't know when he does it, but
that's a long trip.
Oh, dude, it always used to be right around 6 p.m. You would see him.
Means he leaves Austin at about 4.
And the thing is, too, is that, like, he wouldn't, like, most of the time that I saw him, he wouldn't stop at, like, Fairfield or anything like that. Like, he would just go right across those intersections. But, I mean, that's why he was loud. He knew that you know that I'm coming. Get out of the way. I don't think I've ever once seen the guy slow down. Let's go real quick. Go to Mike. Mike, what's up, man? You're line one. You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Yeah, I took some delivery today and on Winter Street. And the guy with the clicking noise, he's definitely going to be out there today. I get a new gig. It's called Spare Change News. So I'll actually give you a newspaper with, you know, a bunch of articles about, you know, what's going on, in, you know, in the area, I guess, for about whatever. You'll give him a quarter, a dollar, and he'll give you the newspaper.
Yeah.
But proceed by, you know, barking random noises at you until you walk up to him and see what he has.
Well, I think that that's a great deal. The Spirit Change is a great thing because it, like, helps out the people who, you know, are homeless or need food or anything like that, and they actually get them, you know, selling something that you can read. Like, I like that. I think that's the people behind Spirit Change, it's a great thing. I didn't know that he was one of the guys who sold that. All I know is that every time he sees my kids, he goes, children!
Yeah, children. That's when you sprint in the other direction.
And then it's, I don't know if he's doing the noise as kind of like trying to entertain my kids or whatever like that, but I mean, it is a little intimidating.
Yeah.
Just the sheer volume out of nowhere. And the arms going with you like a bear that's being attacked. You just got to.
And your kids, like, stand there and go, hey, that's cool.
It's all they've known. My kids have lived in the city their whole lives, and they just think it's normal.
Now you can't move out to the suburbs. It'd be too boring for your kids.
We'd probably spook them out.
Yeah.
The silence would probably
be very quiet
out
here, Dad.
All right, 617-779-0985.
Tom moves up the middle, throws across the middle, touchdown Edelman!
Julian Edelman plays on one station in Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, how are you, honey? Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This charge is a first-degree misdemeanor, punishable by up to 1 year in jail, a mandatory $5,000 fine, 100 hours of community service, and a class on the dangers of prostitution and human trafficking.
That ain't 5 Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and that voice right there is Palm Beach County State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg. And yesterday he spoke to the press, and now we know a little more information regarding what's going on with Robert Kraft. So the first thing, as you heard right there, that we learned was that the severity of the charges are a little higher than we thought. As a matter of fact, he is now charged with 2 counts of first-degree misdemeanor, which is more serious than the previously reported second-degree misdemeanor. Now, people convicted of this can face up to a year in jail. They also have to perform 100 hours of community service, pay a $5,000 fine, and complete an educational program about the negative effects of prostitution and human trafficking, as he mentioned there. He was also, Robert Kraft, was issued a summons to appear or have his attorney appear on his behalf at the end of April, April 24th. Now, more than likely, that would be something that Robert Kraft would not make an appearance at.
The question, just real quick, Michael McCann, during a very lengthy and well-written article about this whole situation with Kraft, said Kraft might be able to score points with the judge if he shows up. Obviously, it is not in his best interest to do that, because then you have photos of him entering the building, photos of him leaving, photos of him sitting in a courtroom. But if he wants to carry weight with the judge, if he shows up to face these charges, it could help him.
To speculate what's going to happen between now and April 24th is almost a fool's game, because so many things can change. So many things can happen. Videos can be released. You know, Kraft could make statements. It's going to be nearly impossible for there to be nothing more on this until the 24th. So, like, I read a little bit of that too, and I was like, at that point, the whole game might have changed. So, according to the report that came out yesterday, Kraft visited the spot twice, once on January 19th and the second time on January 20th, which was the morning of the AFC Championship. So according to the report that was released, on his first visit on Saturday the 19th, Kraft went to the spa that day at 4:45 p.m., left at 5:25. Two women allegedly massaged him that Saturday, and after Kraft left the spa, he entered the passenger side of a Bentley. Shortly after the Bentley left the parking lot of this strip mall that they were in, a police officer pulled over the car for a traffic stop. Now, we had been told before this, that's how they got positive IDs on a lot of these guys. Because you're assuming, if you have any sort of a brain, if you were going to do something that was illegal like this, you would not give them your credit card, you would not sign up for their mailing list. I mean, sure, you would want to remain anonymous. And that is the way that they got IDs on these guys. So So what had happened was that when Kraft returned to the spa the next day, apparently neither he or his driver realized that the purpose of that stop was to obtain a copy of his Massachusetts driver's license and confirm his identity. Now, I have never been at a traffic stop where they asked for the IDs of the other people in the car except for the person driving. Now, I've been told by some people this is what happens and that the police have every right to do so. It just seems a little strange.
If the car was registered somehow to Kraft, and you can debate whether or not he should have a car registered to him in the state of Florida, but if the car is registered to Kraft and there's someone else driving it, then I can see how they would say, sir, are you the owner of the car? Can I see your ID, please?
But, I mean, I just don't think that he owns this car that's in Florida.
I don't know if he does or he doesn't. Again, we're speculating off the grid here. But, I mean, asked a question, yeah, so I'm thinking this could be a plausible answer.
And according to Dan, and I believe he's right, is that he apparently showed up in a different car the next day. So, I mean, the chances of it being in a different Bentley.
Yep.
Man. All right. Two different Bentleys taking him to and from. So, according to the reports that came out yesterday, on the second day, the morning of the AFC Championship, which is just astounding to me, he wore a dark long-sleeve shirt, blue baseball cap, blue shorts, got to the spa at 10:59 a.m. Once again, kickoff is, what, two time zones away at 6:40?
It's 6:40, but, Rich, the Palm Beach International Airport's about 25 minutes south of there.
Private
and if you have your own jet, it's a three-hour flight. Yeah. I'm thinking it's more than physically possible for him to do
that. He was probably there by 4. Like, he was probably at the stadium ready to go by 4
o'clock. I'm thinking he's not sitting in ballgame traffic either. No. I'm thinking he gets the express pass in.
So Robert Kraft, he apparently went through the front door and paid cash to a woman who worked at the front desk. The two police surveillance cameras captured him entering the spa room where he allegedly hugged this woman who was in there. He then took off his clothes and then laid face up at the massage table. The actions happened. And then Kraft paid her with a $100 bill and then another bill and left the room at 11:13 a.m. Kraft then walked to the parking lot and entered the passenger side of a blue Bentley. You're right. It's a different Bentley that was waiting for him. So you have these two things that have both been caught on camera, and that's where things get interesting, because the release of the videos and whether legally the press has a right to be able to get them in an ongoing investigation, this is from TJ Quinn, who is an investigative reporter for ESPN. He said, quote, sources who have seen the surveillance video say it is unquestionably Kraft, and they don't expect him to dispute the charges, although he could plead down. Again, Kraft's attorneys deny he broke any laws. Another thing he put is that many asking if the Kraft video will be released. Law enforcement officials expect yes, although most graphic parts will likely either be eliminated or pixelated. And he once again adds, again, I'm told it's graphic, expecting a motion to seal it in 3, 2, 1. Now, these videos right now, I mean, first of all, how terrified are you? I mean, if you're Robert Kraft.
And there's no real way to stop this from coming out.
Well, okay.
Even if it's sealed, you have to figure somebody will get a hold of it.
Okay, because here's the deal is I read the McCann article as well. And what he is saying is, and everything that I'm reading, is that people's hands have been all over this video. There's been a lot of eyes that have seen it. There's been a lot of people who have had access to it. And right now the temptation for those people, because you can't, while the investigation is going on, according to Michael McCann, he said that the videos aren't available as of right now. Now, the police can choose to release it. They can do a lot of things. However, if that many people have access to a video like this, that according to a lot of people say could get 6, maybe even 7 figures if they sold it to a tabloid, I mean, the chances of this thing getting out there are just, they're astronomical. I mean, they're ridiculously high. As a matter of fact, if I'm Robert Kraft, like, I'm almost praying that the police would release the pixelated version or the one that edited out a lot of the salacious stuff, because wouldn't you rather have that out there than somebody? Because once that video's out there, the tabloids aren't going to pay a ton of money for the unedited version.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, essentially the news has been broken, and then it's like, all right, well, now I'm just being a creep, and I just want to see, you know, the really bad parts of it.
It's embarrassing, but in this situation, and we discussed this a little earlier, it's probably a better thing to get out in front of it.
So right now, Robert Kraft, okay, so what more than likely his legal team is doing, is because you can take all these steps in reducing the chances that it becomes public. So now, one of the main things is that if he acknowledges that it's him, if he says, all right, this is me in the video, they could file a seal a motion to seal them on grounds that their disclosure would cause him like substantial embarrassment, mental distress. He could also insist that the privacy interests with respect to the videos outweigh the curiosity and voyeuristic interests of the to the public. That's once again Michael McCann saying all this. He could also say that, you know, that if the videos are made public, then they should be edited. Now, that to me sounds like more than likely what's going to end up happening. Because if you are him, and once again, he's maintaining that he's innocent and none of this was there. However, there are a bunch of people who are stating when they've seen this that it is definitely, without a doubt, Robert Kraft. On top of that, if he tries to seal it just as hard as his lawyer is working, think about all of the tabloids and news organizations that are going to be working like almost twice as hard in order to use First Amendment and things like that. Because unlike what happened with the Hulk Hogan situation, where the reason that Gawker got in so much trouble is because that was a video that was released of a private act in someone's home. This is a crime being committed. And this is evidence in an ongoing investigation. This is something that, I mean, to prove that it's indeed newsworthy, that was the whole thing about the Hulk Hogan thing.
Yeah.
The reason they got in trouble is because Gawker tried to say, well, this is newsworthy. And that got shot down. They're saying, no, this is a private video. This is the definition of newsworthy. This is somebody breaking the law, and it's the middle of an investigation.
It's the middle of a bigger investigation into something very serious.
Oh,
I understand that.
Yeah. All right, let's go to James real quick. James on line three. What's up, James? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys, you there?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Quick thought for you. Usually when a cop pulls you over, they can request ID from the driver because they're operating the vehicle. Now, they can try to request ID from the passengers, but legally you don't have to show that ID because you're not operating the vehicle. However, they may have just pulled him over to get the visual and say, oh, yeah, that's Kraft in the back. But you would think that Kraft would know the ins and outs of that, but I bet they just want to confirm. So you look in the back, yes, that's Robert Kraft. If that makes sense for you, I just want to provide that little information for you guys. But passengers usually don't have to prove it.
That makes sense. I just don't know. I mean, obviously, I don't know how true that is legally, but that does make sense. And by the way, there are a lot of different courses that Robert Kraft could take to fight this. I mean, one of the big ones I've seen out there, and it's not a great case, but it's a winnable case, is the entrapment part of it. Was he indeed entrapped, you know, by putting the cameras in there? Did they, you know, if they knew a crime was going to take place, did they allow it to happen in order just to catch somebody like him? I mean, there's a million different arguments you can make. As a matter of fact, just the pulling him over for a traffic stop without there being any kind of traffic violation, you know, there's things like that. There's a bunch of different angles that if you have a really good lawyer, you could try to punch holes through this. However, does that matter? Does not paying the $5,000 fine really matter to Robert Kraft? If I'm him, really the only thing that matters to me is not getting this video out. It would be nice to have a clear slate, but what that also means is that this story stays in the public longer and longer and longer and longer, at least for another several months. So do you get out in front of it if you know you did it? Once again, he continues to maintain that it wasn't him, or at least the statement is the only statement he put out there.
I was just going to say, he said it once.
He said it once, but he hasn't changed it.
But if there is a video, his tune could change.
If you know there's a video and it's out there, and you know the chances of this thing coming out at any time, it always works out better if you get out in front of it. Because here's what he could say. Because now everyone is, the police officers made sure yesterday they completely cleared all these 25 people of knowing anything having to do with the trafficking.
Right.
They expressly made that statement so people didn't get it twisted. So if Robert Kraft comes out and makes a statement, if it indeed is him, and says, it was a moment of indiscretion, it was a bad lapse of judgment, and it's something I will never do again. However, this case has brought to light the dangers of sex trafficking. I have now seen firsthand how it can affect people, and I will dedicate much of my charity in fighting this. And, you know, I will continue to make donations to fight the sex trafficking. Like, if he does something like that and just comes out in front and says, man, it was a lapse of judgment, I think that public opinion will kind of come back towards his way. And also, on top of that, if you admit that you did it, doesn't it make the value of the tape a little less? Because if he continues to deny it, it's like, gotcha. Everyone likes that. You did it. You're lying. And then you're known as a liar and someone who can, you know, who denied it the entire time. But there's a tape to prove it.
It's really hard to lessen the impact of video, regardless of what you say and what you do.
It's true.
If that video exists, it's Robert Kraft being serviced. That's a problem. Regardless of how much spin you put on it. You know, I mean, you denied it at first. That's a problem also. So, I mean, here, that's not going away.
All right, we'll take your calls next. Also, on top of that, once again, the dude from that nerd from Kansas City's got an opinion on this, and it's pretty awful. 617-779-0985 or John Wallach's headlines.
Listen live and check out all of our podcasts.
Critics acclaimed it as radio's finest production.
Available wherever and whenever you want.
Getting out of control.
On the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich.
Real nightmare.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, the documents speak for themselves. Well, we handed out with the capias themselves, and I know that we don't always give out those documents, but because the Jupiter Police Department identified the names in advance, and you all had the names for some time, we decided to, in the interest of transparency, to let you have those documents. But they speak for themselves.
All right, 98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Real quick, let's go to Ron on line 5. What's up, Ron? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Guys, can you hear me well?
I can.
Yeah.
All right. Really quick, I kind of wanted to go on the other side of the coin with this situation and say, you know, looking at Robert Kraft, how old is he? 70, 80 years old?
He's in his 77. 77, yep.
Okay. You're looking at a 77-year-old billionaire. Does anybody really care if a video of him comes out?
Oh, I mean, yes.
Clamoring to look at a 77-year-old guy being touched.
Well, I mean, listen, okay.
It's who he is.
Apparently you don't think that he cares. I mean, yeah, he's got a lot at stake in this.
Yeah.
I mean, his reputation, he is known as like one of the main faces in the NFL as far as being one of the head mover shakers. I mean, we know what he means to the actual. I mean,
without him, the last CBA doesn't get done.
You're absolutely right. On top of that, this is a guy that has worked extremely hard to be known as one of the most charitable owners in all of sports. I mean, this is, you know, he's got a somewhat pristine reputation. And anytime something like this happens, I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you have. It's wildly embarrassing.
He's the owner of the defending Super Bowl champions, regardless of all of that stuff.
I mean, I'm not just talking about how much it hurts the organization because, I mean, there is going to be some sort of penalty. It's going to be probably more than anything against him. And here's the thing, too, is that the whole draft pick talk that people are coming, I don't think that's going to happen. What I do think is going to happen is that he's going to get suspended for a certain amount of games. And what is truly going to be the killer for him, as far as personally, is, you know, he loves for being there when they do the banner raising.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reason he owns a team. He wanted championships. He's very proud of those championships. And I think it's going to kill him to not be there.
Depends on how
opening day.
Now, if you're the Patriots, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, if you're the Patriots and you know your owner's been suspended for...
They can't do that. I'm sorry, real quick. Dan just said something in my headphones, which is a decent point, but they can't do it. Dan said, or they wait to raise the
banner
until he gets back.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
They can't do that.
Why not?
You can't do that.
Why not?
Because that's a middle finger to the NFL. You can't do that.
Why not?
Ooh.
Wait till Thanksgiving and do
it. Man, I don't know.
Suppose he gets... All right. Irsay got suspended. Hold on. Work this through now. Irsay got suspended for what? 8 games for that briefcase full of cash thing. Six, eight, whatever it is. If you suspend Kraft for the first 8 games of the season, why don't you wait until November 2nd or whatever it is?
I just think it's bad form and it says you're not sorry.
No.
I also think
he's
Robert
the owner
Kraft
of the team and he can do whatever he wants.
He wouldn't do that.
Why not?
Because he's turned his back against, you know, the whole thing with Tom Brady and the deflated balls.
It's not enough
he
year
just
to
said,
the league.
You know what? It's better for the league
it's
for
not,
me to go with this punishment.
Fine.
You don't think you
it's
okay.
not an FU to the league.
Play it
it's,
out.
I'm not going to be there. I would like to see it happen.
Play it out for me. So the banner doesn't get raised on game one. They don't do the banner raising. They don't do any of that stuff.
It's not going to be on Thursday night. They play Sunday night.
Fine. Who cares what night it is? It's the night you would normally raise the banner. They don't do it. And let's say they wait for him to come back. What do you think all of the other owners and Roger Goodell would think about that? Okay. I know you're about to say, who cares? Hey, Goodell, up here, you got a clown.
No, it has nothing to do with that. Why should that bother the other owners?
You know who cares about that? Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft cares about what Roger Goodell and the rest of the league thinks.
Why should delay? This is unprecedented. You've never had an owner suspended for the first game following a period of time in which he just won a Super Bowl. So we're venturing off in virgin territory here.
He would never do that.
Why?
Because it says I am unrepentant.
No, it says I'm not going to be there. I'd like to be there and watch it happen. And since I own the team, damn it, I can schedule it whenever I want.
By the way, Kim Ring, who runs a very successful PR firm in town, says, I'm with you guys on Kraft getting in front of it and then doing something to fight it forward. I mean, that would be the best thing. If you know it's
the best thing to do. But more specifically, you have not convinced me the other way. I'm Robert Kraft. I've been suspended for, just spitballing here, 8 games and fined $500,000. I'm not going to be able to attend a game until November. Why can't I wait? I own the team. My team won the Super Bowl. I should be able to see the banner raised.
He's not going to do it.
You don't know that?
I'm telling you, Robert Kraft and just the way he's acted, and he's always put the NFL first, it's going to look really bad if he did that. It would look unrepentant.
See, I don't know. I disagree with that.
All right.
He's not unrepentant.
Also, if you want this to go away, wouldn't you just like have the banner raising? Because then everyone's going to be talking about it 6 months later on, or next 6 months, 6 weeks later on when he's back, if it's 6 games. Then you just drag the story out. And I have a feeling that if he's going to take the punishment, just get it over with, get it done. Listen, it sucks.
That's a better argument than being unrepentant.
But you've done 5 of these before. All right.
Yeah.
You've been there for 5 of them before. You can miss the 6. It sucks.
I think you win. You want to see it. Regardless, you own the building. You own the team.
Let's go to Jay. Jay on line 6. Jay, what's up, man? You're on Touch and Rich.
Yeah, they wouldn't delay it. Not because of the embarrassment. Not even because of the F you to the league. Belichick already probably hates having to do it on the first game of the season after he spent the whole training camp telling his guys last year was last year and this and that. You're going to tell me it's 6 weeks into the season and they're like 2-4 or 3-3 they come out with a Super Bowl champion banner.
Yeah, that's a good argument.
I mean, that's a good point. I mean, they're
ramping up, so they're in the middle of their normal October-November slump. And they're 3-3 or, 4-4, and you raise the bench. Yeah, that's true. That wouldn't look
all right.
Good.
Let's go to Mark on line 5. Mark, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, steak and eggs, guys.
What's up,
hey,
man?
Rich, I disagree with you, and I agree with Mr. John Wallach.
How about that?
The Patriots should all get together, the whole organization, and say, listen, if it wasn't for Robert Kraft, we wouldn't be here right now. This man bought this team, saved them from moving to either St. Louis or wherever the hell they wanted to go. Okay? So it shouldn't matter which week they raise that banner. And the owner should be there.
He wouldn't allow it to happen. I just think Robert Kraft, if this is the case, he's just going to want it to go away. Just get it done. Do the banner raising. It sucks that you're not there. And don't drag this away. But that to me was the funniest scenario the guy said before. Like, what if the Patriots start off like 2-4?
Best argument I've heard. Way better than anything you presented.
They had some like crippling loss, like the one against like the Dolphins. And they're sitting there and they're like, here's the banner raising. Like, oh, Jesus. Bill Belichick just wants to murder someone.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, are you kidding me? Yeah, it's like right. It's the Stonehenge and Spinal Tap. Womp womp.
I love that movie. That's a good call.
More than likely it would happen just because the potential of that could possibly
the
happen.
The unrepentant argument doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for me at all.
Nothing works for you because you're deaf. 617-779-0985. You just deaf to reason. Reason and logic.
Even though your argument is lame, but that's fine.
It's a fantastic argument.
Yeah, okay.
All right. We will get to your calls in a moment. We'll finally play this freaking Bob Fesco audio from Kansas City. I know. Dan in the other room was like, what the hell? He's put his hands up in the air. We will play it when we get back, I promise.
Miss something?
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Don Wallach and Mitch. I just love the fact that you had just said it, and then it's like you said my name wrong. You're like, no, I didn't. I'm like, no, you literally six, seven seconds before I mentioned it. I just completely botched it, but then again, it's not like we've worked.
I've only been working
here
9 years, so right? Figure maybe eventually.
Right. All right, so let's get to it. Everyone's got an opinion. We'll continue taking your calls in a little bit, but everyone's got an opinion, and I mean absolutely everyone, including our good friend, Mr. Uh, Mr. Fusco from out there in Kansas City.
Fesco.
Is it Fesco? Okay, Mr. Fesco. And I didn't do that to try to be write him off as I don't know this guy because I'm obsessed with this Fesco. Be quite honest. I'm fascinated by Mr. Fesco because he's just so not good at his job.
Now, he was mountains and Maine.
He was the guy that when the Patriots were playing Kansas City, had some really mean things to say about the Patriots.
Hey, Boston, kiss my ass twice.
Ooh, he was talking about the people of Boston. You know, he was like, you know.
We're living inside the dome.
Yeah, he was living inside our dome.
The chowder heads are melting down, and they're wondering why, you know, we're not going to another Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, that obviously didn't work out the way that he had hoped. I mean,
Boston.
Of course, all these great accents.
There's a little how about them apples kind of feel for it, yeah.
Okay, well, obviously, he's a great DJ. But he had an opinion on the Robert Kraft situation, and let's take a listen. Let's see what our good friend Mr. Bob Fesco in Kansas City had to say about Mr. RKK.
Wow, what a meltdown was underway in that city. Oh, my goodness.
I kind of enjoyed it. Not going to lie, Old England. How's it going today?
God, I mean, so
the Old England thing, why he thinks that's an insult? We're newer than you think. I mean, just look at the expiration date. We haven't passed our prime. What the hell is he trying to do with going Old England?
It's his cute way of. I don't know what it is, actually. I have no idea what he's doing.
Well, he's obviously
no
a very
idea what he's
man.
Doing. He's riding it, though. I mean, it worked so well during the AFC Championship game because he was living in our doom.
Well, I mean, obviously, Don Rickles, you know, back in the day, he used to call him for material.
I kind of enjoyed it. Not going to lie, Old England. How's it going today?
I mean,
Bart Scott wants the whole draft taken away from the Patriots.
Of course.
I think it's a good thing. That's where you start.
He's playing to his audience.
Of course.
Nobody likes the Patriots. Yes.
Yes, because when the big giant goes down, which New England is, when the big giant goes down, everybody rejoices because how we were all treated along the way, along the climb to the top. And everybody else was spit on and dumped on and kicked in the face by the New England Patriots, and they were allowed to get away with Spygate and win Super Bowls, Deflategate and win Super Bowls, TB12 gate and win Super Bowls. Like every step
along. Is that a new gate? I don't know.
They didn't get away with anything. They were punished each time, right?
See, I kind of think that whole Deflategate thing.
I think they were punished each time and still won. See, that kind of puts a couple of big holes in the theory. The TB12 gate is what exactly?
I don't know. And I do think that each time they. Yeah, a little bit, Joe.
I think. Oh, the it's a TB12 Deflategate. They were, you know, the best player missed the first four games. You know, Deflategate. They were fined $1 million. It's dock draft picks, and they still won.
Deflategate and win Super Bowls. TB12 gate and win Super Bowls. Like every step along the way, they were able to do things that skirted the rules and still find ways to get championships and to get Super Bowls. The one thing that Old England will always have and they will never be able to shake.
What is that?
They'll never be as good as New York.
Oh,
they will never be as good as New York.
You got us. You got us.
It's terrible.
It's been a chip on the city's shoulder for so long. You know, I mean, just the rent is just too low here.
Why? Why can't we be as good as Manhattan? Why?
It's been an embarrassment, and it's the talk of the city.
And our sports teams just aren't nearly as good. Basketball, football, hockey.
Everywhere you go.
It's awful. Like,
I really want to be.
New York is so much better in all of those cases.
They'll never be as good as New York. They will never be as good as New York City. No matter how hard they try, no matter how many sports championships they win, they know they will always be the little brother to New York City. And you know what that does? That grinds their gears so bad. And the best part about it is
it doesn't just grind my gears. It chaps my hide.
Oh, it's terrible.
I mean, it's
spoken like a guy who doesn't live in either place.
You know what it does? It burns my buns. It really just, who says grinds your gears nowadays?
To yeah, New you York City. You know and you know what that
you know
does?
What it, does? It grinds my gears, I tell you. Hey, this Patrick Mahomes is the bee's knees. He's like straight out of the 1940s.
Yeah, Bob.
Yeah, I got to tell you, these Kansas City Chiefs are the catch me, Jerry.
Yeah, Bob stuck the landing again. Mic drop. Boom.
To New York City. And you know what that does? That grinds their gears so bad. And the best part about it is New York doesn't even really acknowledge old England. They'll do on the sports field because you got to play each other in games and whatnot and things of that nature. But for all intents and purposes, everybody in New York knows they're better than Boston and doesn't give Boston the time of day. And so New York for, I don't know, 250 years now has not really responded to old England, and it still grinds their gears.
For 250 years?
Yeah.
Yes, they did not put it on parchment. They did not go to the printing press. I just let this guy talk. Hey, what's up there, cats? You know what's really grinding my gears today? I'll tell you what. The fact that all of this gas for my lamp out in front of my house as I walk through the cobblestone streets, because for 250 years, we just haven't shaken the fact that New York, man, they're just so much better at us in everything. Cost of living.
Quality of life.
Quality of life. Traffic.
Has not really responded to old England, and it still grinds their gears. So when something like this happens, they immediately want to go and hear what New York's saying about them so they can get fired up. I hope they're listening to us this morning. There's a good chance they are.
We are. Because
we're going to say the same thing. Ha, 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 ha. And we're going to dance around and celebrate because
it
it's funny.
Wonderful.
For the rest of America, what happened on Friday to your owner is hysterical. And it's really, really good because now you're getting kind of a taste of payback for being jerks to everybody along the way.
Somebody said grinds my gears is a Thomas the Tank Engine reference. I mean, listen,
sit
I'm not
going
to pick what kind of... Yeah, sit on it and rotate there, kid. Mitch talking about old England proves that Fesco is living in your dome.
That's right.
He said,
that's right. He got us again.
Just don't replay the awesome New England accent contest, which was really a hit. He goes, this guy may actually suck worse than Sarge. Oh, come on. That's not very nice. That's not very nice.
Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. And you know what that does? That grinds their gears so bad.
They're grinded, and I don't know how we're going to be able to recover.
Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha.
This guy gets paid. This guy gets paid to do this.
Oh, man. I kind of like this guy now, and I really want to listen to his show a lot.
Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, I mean... Why do you got to make fun of our soup?
The chowder heads are melting down, and they're wondering why, you know, we're not going to another Super Bowl.
I just don't know how I'm going to be able to live with these insults.
Pompous mountains in Maine.
Keep forgetting that the mountains are pompous.
They're extremely right. Pompous.
Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha.
So let's say this guy and Amy Lawrence would make 4 a.m. sports radio great again.
That's back-to-back in Kansas City.
We should do a bit tomorrow called What Grinds Your Gears? Just open up the phone.
Well, I think
what's grinding your gears there, Boston? Old England, what's happening there? Oh, yeah. You know what I tell you? You guys really, truly are the cat's pajamas. I mean, dude, he's so awesomely bad. He's so awesomely bad. I know you're laughing. Well, listen, don't laugh at me. I'm feeling very inferior to our friends over in New York City. All right, 617-779-0985. Ty Anderson, he's stuck behind a car accident. So he's going to call us in and give us his opinion on what happened yesterday with the Bruins. Apparently not the blockbuster that everyone had hoped for, but are they a better team today than they were yesterday? We'll ask Ty. No commercials, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.